In the grim darkness of the far future, there are soldiers, and then there are Tempestus Scions. This is a name spoken with a mix of awe, envy, and fear across a million worlds of the Imperium. To some, they're the glory boys, strutting around in their immaculate carapace armor and wielding high-powered weapons. To others, they're saviors, angels in sealed helmets descending from the sky to turn the tide of battle in humanity's darkest hours. However you refer to them, one thing is certain. The Tempestus Scions are the elite special forces of the Imperium, and they have earned every ounce of that deadly reputation. These men and women are not your average Imperial guardsmen. Far from it. A Tempestus Scion is a cold, proficient killer, honed to the peak of unaugmented human potential. While ordinary guardsmen rely on laser guns and courage, in overwhelming numbers, Scions bring precision, discipline, and an almost superhuman level of training to the battlefield. They fight without question or hesitation until their orders are fulfilled, embodying the Imperial ideal of unflinching obedience. In their hands, a standard mission becomes a masterclass in shock and awe. Pinpoint Lasfire, reducing enemies to smoldering heaps of corpses, coordinated assaults striking like a surgeon's scalpel at the heart of the foe. They are the razor's edge of the Astra Militarum's war machine, a core of flexible and nigh-incorruptible soldiers that Imperial High Command deploys only for the most dire and demanding assignments. To understand how the Tempestus Scions earned such status, we need to look at who they are and where they come from. Unlike most military units, the Scions are not raised on any single homeworld. There's no planet Tempestus churning out perfect soldiers. Instead, their origins are far more brutal and, in true Imperial fashion, efficient. Tempestus Scions are products of the Schola Progenium, the Imperium's infamous orphan academies. Every Scion was once a child who lost their parents, often high-ranking Imperial officials or decorated military officers, usually in some war or tragic catastrophe. Rather than being left to fend for themselves, these orphans, known as progenia, are scooped up by the Schola Progenium, where the real education begins. And by education, of course, we mean a merciless regime of indoctrination and training that forges frightened children into some of the toughest human beings alive. The motto could very well be, "Break them down, then rebuild them harder and better." The Schola Progenium does exactly that. Life in the Schola Progenium is a far cry from a normal childhood. From a young age, sometimes as young as 6 or 7, progenia are subjected to a harsh monastic existence. They are stripped of their past lives entirely. No personal possessions, no family names or cultural quirks from whatever world they were born on. The Schola ensures that by the time they reach adolescence, these kids barely remember what home was. All that matters now is service to the Emperor. They wake before dawn to prayers and litanies. They spend their days in weapons drills, tactical classes, and endless physical conditioning. Every hour of every day is carefully engineered to instill absolute loyalty and to excise any hint of weakness. If you've ever thought your school was tough, imagine reciting the same prayer 1,000 times without a mistake under the gaze of a drill abbot who's itching for an excuse to cane you. Imagine being forced to march for days on end on half rations, or being tossed into a pit with a live blade and a snarling beast to see if you have the wits and will to come out alive. That's a progenium upbringing in a nutshell. This education is as much psychological as it is physical. The progenia are taught that the Emperor of Mankind is their one true father now, and that unquestioning obedience is the highest virtue. Hesitation is heresy. One of the first lessons drilled into them is a grim little axiom. Death is not failure. Fear is not failure. The only failure is to disobey orders. If an instructor tells a cadet to charge a fortified machine gun nest with nothing but a practice sword, the cadet will do it without a second thought, or die trying. To hesitate, to question why, is the only thing truly beyond the pale. This mindset is not negotiable. It's burned into their brains through a mix of constant propaganda, peer pressure, and even more invasive measures. Indeed, many progena undergo something politely termed mindscaping, a series of psychological conditioning sessions, sometimes aided by chems or even psychic hypnosis, to scrub away lingering memories and enforce the Scola's doctrines deep into their subconscious. The result is a young adult whose faith in the Imperium and the chain of command is literally hardwired into their soul. Not all progena survive this process. In fact, a great many do not. The training is deliberately cruel because the Imperium only wants the absolute cream of the crop to graduate. The Schola Progenium's overseers, the drill abbots, test their charges constantly and often lethally. There are live-fire exercises in surreal combat simulacra called hallucinariums, where cadets must navigate labyrinthine battlefields filled with psychic illusions designed to confuse and terrify them. There, an aspirant might suddenly face apparitions of their dead loved ones, begging them to stop, or experience their worst fears made manifest, all while live rounds zip past their heads. The challenge is simple. Ignore it all and follow orders. Some fail these trials of compliance in spectacular fashion, perhaps hesitating at a critical moment or succumbing to terror. And those failures are not given gentle second chances. More often than not, they disappear from the program, and likely from the land of the living entirely. The brutality even extends to moral tests. One infamous method used on potential commissars who train alongside stormtrooper cadets in the Schola involves ordering a cadet to execute their closest friend among the other students. Without warning and without explaining, it's a drill. Imagine a teenager who's endured years of hardship with one loyal comrade suddenly being told by a stern abbot, "Cadet, draw your sidearm and shoot your companion in the head. That is an order." The ones that pause or refuse, well, they clearly aren't commissar material, and their friend might end up dead regardless, along with their own future prospects. This gives you an idea of how far the Schola Progenium will go to ensure its graduates are completely severed from normal human sentiment. Compassion, doubt, hesitation. These are weaknesses to be excised. By the time the trials of compliance are over, only the utterly dedicated remain. Those who endure and excel face one final hurdle known as Selection Day. On this day, the surviving cadets are evaluated and assigned to their ultimate roles in the Imperium's service. It's here that destinies diverge. The very best of the best, those with unshakable minds, leadership spark, and that special zeal, might be plucked up to become commissars, the feared political officers of the Imperial Guard. A rare few, particularly zealous female progena with unyielding faith, might be earmarked for the Adepta Sororitas, the Sisters of Battle, to serve as power-armored warrior nuns. Occasionally, an individual with a truly unique skill set might even be quietly recruited by the Inquisition as an acolyte. The Inquisitors are always on the lookout for exceptional talent to shape into their agents. But for the vast majority of the successful progena, the path leads to the Ordo Tempestus, the organization that commands the stormtroopers. These inductees are funneled into the Schola Tempestus, essentially an advanced training academy within the progenium system dedicated to producing Tempestus Scions. One could be forgiven for thinking that after the nightmare of the progenium upbringing, the worst is over. But the newly assigned stormtrooper cadets quickly learn that the real pain is only beginning. The Militarum Tempestus, also called the Ordo Tempestus, when including its amnium, administrative and commissar components, runs its own training camps, and if anything, they make the earlier years look like a leisurely stroll through a pleasure garden. The training is ramped up to even more intense levels. Live fire drills where failure means death, zero tolerance for the slightest disobedience, and a curriculum that covers everything from advanced small unit tactics and demolitions to high altitude grav chute insertion and operating behind enemy lines without support. The instructors are veterans, scions, and commissars themselves, and their approach to teaching is extremely straightforward. You do exactly as ordered with perfection, or you die trying. Those lucky enough to survive 3 years of this hellish schooling graduate as Tempestus Scions, ready to fight and die for the Imperium. Upon graduation, the fresh Scions are immediately assigned to a regiment of the Militarum Tempestus. Now, unlike the Imperial Guard's planetary regiments, which are typically raised from a single world, like Cadia's shock troops or Catacan's jungle fighters, a Tempestus Scion regiment is a cosmopolitan mix. It has to be. Its recruits come from Schola Progenium facilities across the galaxy. One regiment might include soldiers originally born on dozens of different worlds, though none of that matters anymore. By this point, each Scion's past has been all but erased and replaced with the homogenized culture of loyalty, discipline, and little else. What does distinguish these regiments are their code names. Since they aren't named after a homeworld, they are often designated by a numeric and pseudo-Latin or Greek title. Names like the 55th Capic Eagles, the 133rd Lamdan Lions, or the 9th Iotan Gorgons. To the outsider, these names might sound arcane, but to those in the Ordo Tempestus, they carry proud histories and battle honors. A full Tempestus regiment is theoretically a large formation, often larger than a typical Guard regiment. It's said one Scion squad can have up to 10,000 troopers on its rolls. However, you'd rarely, if ever, see all of them deployed in one place as a single army. Remember, these are special forces. They're used sparingly as sharpened tools for precise jobs. In practice, the Militarum Tempestus breaks its regiments down into smaller detachments that are dispatched wherever they're needed most. You might have a company of a few hundred Scions assigned to support a planetary invasion here, two squads operating behind enemy lines there, and perhaps a handful kept in reserve for sudden emergencies elsewhere. They could be operating independently or attached to larger Imperial Guard forces as an elite auxiliary. This dispersal sometimes means a Scion squad will fight alongside regular Guard units who've never seen stormtroopers up close before, and that's where the nicknames start flying. To a dirt-stained infantryman who's spent months slogging through trenches, these Scions must look like something out of a propaganda pict. Immaculate uniforms, high-tech rebreather helms with those eerie red goggles, and weapons that actually seem to kill enemies in one shot. Not to mention the Scions' attitude. Cool, composed, utterly professional, and maybe a tad arrogant. Or so it seems to the average guardsman. It's no wonder the grunts came up with mocking monikers. Glory Boys is one such name, implying these elite troopers are just fame seekers or teachers' pets showing off. Another is Big Toy Soldiers, a jab at their fancy kit, as if they're rich kids playing war with expensive toys, unlike the poor line trooper with his battered flak armor and standard-issue flashlight of a laser gun. The Scions, for their part, couldn't care less about the insults. They know jealousy when they hear it, and they're far too disciplined to get into barracks squabbles over petty name-calling. In fact, a Scion squad's mere performance usually silences any mockery soon enough. Even the most bitter guardsman is happy to have a Glory Boy squad around when the Greenskins are breaching the perimeter, or a chaos monstrosity is bearing down. Because that's when the Scions get to work and remind everyone why they're so valued. So what exactly is it that Tempestus Scions do that sets them apart? In one word, the impossible. They specialize in missions that would be outright suicidal or flat-out impossible for normal human troops. We're talking about special operations par excellence, deep strike assaults into the enemy's heart, high-stakes reconnaissance far beyond friendly lines, infiltration and sabotage missions where a single misstep could mean disaster. Scions excel at airborne and orbital insertions. They'll drop from a Valkyrie aircraft or even from low orbit using grav chutes, land in the middle of an enemy stronghold, guns blazing, and accomplish objectives with a speed and brutality that leaves foes reeling. They might blow up a critical bridge, disable a planetary defense shield generator, assassinate a heretical leader stirring up a rebellion, or snatch a Xenos artifact from right under the alien overlord's noses. These are the sort of tasks you give to the Scions when you absolutely need it done. No excuses, no matter the cost. The Tempestus Scions fight as small, cohesive units, usually squads of around 10 troopers, led by a sergeant equivalent called a Tempestor. Every member of the squad is a veteran by any normal standard. Even the fresh recruits have survived trials that would kill veteran guardsmen. A Scion squad moves with discipline that would make a parade ground commissar weep tears of joy. Each soldier knows his role intimately. They communicate in clipped battle cant through their helmet voxes, coordinate fields of fire with machine-like precision, and adapt to changing battle conditions without losing focus on the mission. Their discipline is such that they can lay down a withering hail of las fire into an onrushing enemy horde, and not a single shot will be wasted on non-optimal targets. It's been said that 10 Scions with hot-shot laser guns can accomplish what 100 regular soldiers cannot. Because while the guard infantryman is spraying and praying, the Scions are surgically picking off high-value targets and coordinating force-multiplying strikes. Let's talk equipment, because the tools of the trade certainly help. The standard gear of a Tempestus Scion is a cut above what most human soldiers get in the Imperium. They wear carapace armor, rigid plates of armorplas and ceramite that cover the vital areas, colored in the stormtrooper's distinctive black, blue, or dark gray, often accented with red or other identification markings depending on their regiment's livery. This armor is much tougher than the typical flak vest a guardsman wears. It can actually stop rounds that would shred lesser protection, and it gives Scions a fighting chance against shrapnel, small arms, even glancing hits from a bolt shell. The helmet, iconic with its rebreather mask and glowing visor lenses, isn't just for show either. It filters toxins and provides an internal oxygen supply for hostile environments, allowing Scions to fight in vacuum or biochemical zones. It also contains an integrated targeter and communication suite. In other words, a Scion's helmet is feeding them tactical data, linking them to each other, and helping them line up kill shots in the chaos of battle. That distinctive sight of a half dozen Scions advancing with visors gleaming and hellguns leveled, that's enough to send a jolt of both relief, if you're Imperial, and terror, if you're not, through any witness. Ah yes, the guns. Tempestus Scions, Guillemots famously carry what's colloquially known as hellguns, or more formally, hotshot laser guns. These are not your grandfather's las rifle. A hotshot laser gun uses an overcharged power pack, usually a backpack-mounted power supply feeding the rifle via cable, to deliver las bursts far more potent than the garden-variety flashlights used by the rank and file. A shot from a hotshot can punch through armored targets that would shrug off normal las fire. There are tales of Scions cutting down traitor space marines with disciplined volleys, their hotshot blasts boring through power armor at close range. That's no small feat for mere humans with laser guns, and it's a testament to both their weapon quality and their marksmanship. The weapons often have scope targeters interfaced with the helmets for accuracy, and in skilled hands, they can lay down very precise pain. Scion squads also have access to a range of special weapons to tailor their firepower to the mission. Need to burn out a nest of heretics in a building? They'll bring flamers. Expecting heavily armored Chaos Terminators or a Tyranid monstrosity? Equip a Melta gun or two, or maybe a plasma gun to really ruin that target's day. For extra ranged punch, some Scions carry hotshot volley guns, essentially a rapid-fire version of the hotshot Laes, a squad support weapon that spews high-energy death at a fearsome rate, perfect for suppressing an enemy or mowing down a charge of mutant berserkers. Every Scion also carries an assortment of grenades, fragmentation for anti-personnel, crack grenades for blowing holes in vehicles or fortifications. And if the mission calls for it, they won't hesitate to slap a Melta bomb on a tank's underbelly or rig an entire ammo dump to explode. In short, they go in armed to the teeth with the best man-portable hardware the Departamento Munitorum can provide, far beyond the average guardsman's kit. It's another reason for that big toy soldier nickname. The grunts see all those fancy guns and gadgets and roll their eyes, until those gadgets save their bacon, of course. Mobility is another key factor. Scions rarely just walk into battle, unless they're stationed on site to begin with. More often, they drop in from the sky. The Aeronautica Imperialis operates Valkyrie assault carriers to ferry Scion squads rapidly across a battlefield or from orbit to ground. There's a very common sight in many war zones, a flight of Valkyries screaming in low amidst flak bursts and laser fire, back ramps open and black armored Scions rappelling down or grav shooting out into the combat zone. Some Scions are trained to deploy exclusively by grav chute, earning them a special designation, the Tempestus Aquilons. These Aquilons jump from high altitudes, even stratospheric drops, using advanced grav chute packs to slow their descent and land right where they need to be, often behind enemy lines. While all Scions are capable of aerial deployment, the Aquilons take it to an art form. They literally practice nothing else. It takes a certain breed of lunatic bravery and perhaps a dash of creativity to specialize in that role, since grav shooting into a hot LZ with anti-aircraft guns raging is one of the shortest life expectancy gigs around. But the Aquilons' squads attract the few Scions who show a spark of individuality and self-sufficiency beyond the norm qualities the Imperium usually frowns upon, but in this case, finds useful for deep infiltration teams that often end up cut off far from support. When not dropping out of the sky, Scions might be rushing into battle in their own dedicated transport vehicles. The Torox Prime is a common ride, a tough, fast-armored car-slash-troop carrier, bristling with guns, designed specifically to keep up with Scions' aggressive tactics. A Torox Prime can barrel over rough terrain, delivering a squad safely into the thick of a firefight, its turret and hull weapons providing supporting fire. In urban or close-quarter fights, Scions might also utilize Chimera IFVs or whatever local transport is available. They're pragmatic in that sense. If it has wheels or tracks and can move, and they need to go somewhere, they'll make use of it. But unlike Standard Guard mechanized infantry, Scions don't typically sit in their transports slugging it out. Vehicles are there to get them where they need to be. Then the Scions disembark and get to work with shock and awe on foot. The organization of the Militarum Tempestus is worth noting because it highlights both how independent and how integrated these troops can be. The Ordo Tempestus, which the Scions belong to, is actually a subdivision of the Administratum, specifically under the Departamento Munitorum's broad umbrella. It also includes the Commissariat. Yes, those terrifying political officers in greatcoats who execute cowards, because commissars and stormtroopers are brothers of a sort, both coming from the Progenium training system. This means Tempestus Scions technically answer up a different chain of command than regular guard regiments. They have their own generals and officers in the Ordo Tempestus structure, and they take orders directly relevant to special operations at the strategic level. In many cases, when a Scion detachment is attached to support an Astra Militarum regiment, the Scions still operate under their own leaders and tactical directives. They're simply cooperating with the larger force. For example, if the Lord Commander Militant of a war zone says, "I need that shield generator on the enemy's capital city destroyed before our main assault," the request goes to the Ordo Tempestus, who assign a Tempestor Prime and some Scion squads to the task. That Tempestor Prime will coordinate with the overall battle plan, but basically has autonomy to carry out the mission as they see fit. Tempestor Primes are the equivalent of captains or majors. Each leads a company or perhaps a whole deployment of Scions. They are invariably seasoned badasses, promoted purely on merit and success rate. A Tempestor Prime has survived countless missions themselves, so they know exactly how a Scion team operates, and they lead from the front when necessary. One can picture a grizzled Tempestor Prime, maybe missing an eye or sporting a bionic arm, calmly directing his troops with short vox commands as they rappel down into an enemy command bunker. He's seen it all, and nothing phases him, a necessary trait, because Scions often witness horrors that would send average soldiers running screaming. The hierarchy goes roughly. At the top of a deployment, a Tempestor Prime. Below him, Tempestors, squad leaders, and then the Scions, sometimes informally just called troopers. There isn't a complex rank structure with lieutenants and such like in the Guard, partly because Scions often operate in small units where a rigid multi-tiered command is unnecessary, and partly because those who make it that far are expected to take initiative when cut off. Flexibility and quick decision-making are drilled into them. Interestingly, that stands in contrast to normal Imperial doctrine for mass troops, which stresses rigid following of orders above all. Scions follow orders too, of course, but their orders might be broader, achieve X objective, where they must adapt and figure out the how on the fly. A Tempestus command squad often accompanies a Tempestor Prime. This is a hand-picked team of the finest Scions in his outfit, carrying a regimental banner, a vox caster for communication, maybe a medic to keep the Prime and key operatives on their feet. If the Scions are the scalpel, the command squad is like the razor-sharp tip of that scalpel, ensuring the leadership node is protected and effective. Now, given their upbringing and indoctrination, you might wonder, do Tempestus Scions ever falter? Do they ever step out of line? The answer is rarely, but they are still human. Occasionally, a stormtrooper might struggle with the psychological weight of what they've seen or done, or perhaps a bit of personality that wasn't fully crushed might assert itself in the form of disobedience or independent thinking at the wrong time. The Ordo Tempestus has a method for dealing with such troublesome individuals, and unsurprisingly, it's not a gentle rehabilitation program. Scions who can't follow orders, who develop a streak of insubordination, or who just exhibit problematic behavior are gathered up and placed into penal squads, euphemistically called eradicant formations. The concept is simple and grimly efficient. All the black sheep get herded into a single unit, and that unit is sent on the kind of mission that has a slim chance of survival. But if by some miracle it succeeds, great, the job gets done and maybe the Scions have redeemed themselves. If far more likely they perish in the attempt, well, the problem sorts itself out. In the eyes of high command, it's a win-win scenario. survive and prove you were worth the trouble, or die expunging your sins in service to the Emperor. Stories abound of erraticant squads being thrown at heavily fortified gun emplacements, or tasked with holding a choke point against an orc horde with no hope of reinforcement. Sometimes they actually manage to pull off the impossible, and the survivors are deemed rehabilitated, or if command is feeling particularly distrustful, sent right back into another insane mission until they eventually don't return. It's telling that in the Ordo Tempestus, if you hear the word eradicant attached to your unit, you've basically been given a death sentence with a side of slim hope for redemption. All these elements, ruthless training, superior weaponry, unbending discipline, and specialized tactics, make the Tempestus Scions extraordinarily effective. But how does this play out in real war zones? Let's walk through a few examples of their deeds and see what these so-called glory boys have accomplished on the battlefields of the 41st millennium. Consider the hive world of Armageddon, seen to some of the most apocalyptic wars in Imperial history. In the Second and Third Wars for Armageddon against the orcs of Ghazkul Thraka, millions of Imperial Guardsmen and numerous Space Marine chapters fought and bled to hold the line. Among them were detachments of stormtroopers. During the Second War, Scion teams were reportedly used to spearhead counterassaults in the Hive cities, sudden strikes through maintenance tunnels and under Hive routes to flank orc mobs that had breached the defenses. In one notable engagement, a squad of Scions from the 44th Alphic Centaurs Regiment executed a high-altitude drop at night right into the middle of an orc encampment outside Hive Volcanus. They moved through the camp like ghosts, planting melta bombs on stored orc munitions and fuel depots. When dawn broke and the greenskins formed up to attack the Hive, the charges detonated. In the chaos and flames that followed, the stunned orcs were easy prey for an Imperial armored counterattack. A company commander in the Steel Legion later commented that without that timely sabotage, the Hive's defenses might have been overwhelmed before dawn. The Scions turned what could have been a tragic last stand into a victory, all with a handful of men willing to jump into a sea of enemies with nothing but stealth and audacity as their shield. On the flip side, stormtroopers also played roles in more clandestine, grim chapters of Armageddon's history. During the First War for Armageddon, which was a chaos invasion led by the demon Primarch Angron, a lot of nasty secret stuff went down. The Grey Knights and Space Wolves were involved in defeating the demonic horde, and in the aftermath, the Inquisition infamously ordered that every surviving human soldier who had witnessed those events be executed or sent to mind-wipe labor camps to contain knowledge of Chaos and the Grey Knights. It's a dark footnote, but yes, that included even the victorious stormtroopers who had fought bravely against the demon incursions. Imagine, you survive hell on Earth, doing your duty beyond all expectation, and then you're thanked with a summary death sentence to keep a secret. Some Space Wolves Space Marines were so disgusted by this purge that it caused a huge rift between them and the Inquisition, a period called the Months of Shame. But for our purposes, it illustrates a key point about Tempestus Scions. Their loyalty is absolute and often unappreciated. They will follow an order to the bitter end, even if that order is, effectively, to lay down their own lives or submit to an unjust fate. Scions, who were marched off after the First Armageddon War, did so with the same discipline they took into battle. It's sobering and more than a little tragic, but such is the price of being the Emperor's most faithful blades. Sometimes you get sheathed or shattered when politics demand it. Moving on to other theaters, in the Damocles Gulf Crusade, circa 742 M41, where the Imperium first seriously confronted the rapidly expanding Tau Empire, stormtrooper units were heavily involved. the Tau were technologically advanced and highly strategic, which meant the Imperium needed every edge it could get. Tempestus Scions undertook high-risk reconnaissance on Tau Sept worlds, infiltrating through jungles and across alien skies to gather intel on Tau troop movements and to designate targets for orbital strikes. There's an account of Scions engaging in a deep strike on the Tau world of Dalith Prime, under cover of a diversionary frontal assault by guard regiments. A task force of Scions dropped in behind Tau lines to knock out a critical aerial defense grid. They moved under camo cloaks at night, eliminated sentry drones and fire warriors with silenced weapons, and hacked into the defense network's power generators. When the system went down, Imperial Navy Marauder bombers swooped in unopposed and decimated the Tau positions. Without those Scions, that bombing run would have been shredded by Tau air defenses. The crusade ultimately ended in a stalemate. The Imperium paused operations due to larger threats elsewhere. But the Scions proved their worth time and again in those battles, matching wits with the hyper-advanced Tau tactics and giving them a nasty surprise or two. Another famous engagement, the Taros Campaign, 998-M41, chronicled in an Imperial Armor volume. Taros was a desert world where the Imperium attempted to take back a planet that had secretly defected to the Tau. The campaign was rough and ultimately did not go the Imperium's way, but not for lack of heroics. In one episode known as Operation Deathblow, a team composed of volunteers from several stormtrooper companies attempted a decapitation strike on the Tau leadership. Three Valkyries full of Scions flew a daring low-level insertion across the Taros Desert, evading Tau sensors, to hit the main Tau command base near a place called Tarokin. Their goal was to eliminate the ethereal Aunvrei, a sort of Tau spiritual political leader, and the Tau commander Cadre, hoping to throw the Xenos forces into disarray. The mission, to be frank, was a bloodbath. The stormtroopers fought their way into the heart of the base, and it turned into a protracted close-quarters fight against battlesuits and elite Tau warriors. Casualties were extremely high. Some reports say the ethereal did indeed perish, possibly at the hands of the Scion team, though the Tau claim an accident killed him. Sure, accident, right. Only a very small handful of Scions made it out to the extraction point, badly wounded and with horrifying tales of what they faced. The strike didn't turn the tide as hoped, but it did demonstrate the lengths to which the Imperium will push these troops, and the lengths to which those troops will go willingly. The survivors were folded back into other units, and one assumes probably sent on another suicide mission shortly after, such as the life of a Tempestus Scion. Of course, it's not all desperate behind enemy lines missions. Scions also bolster frontline assaults where needed. If a campaign's overall strategy calls for taking a fortress, for example, you might see Scions being the ones tasked to breach a particularly tough strong point as the tip of the spear, paving the way for regular regiments to pour through. During the Third War for Armageddon, stormtrooper detachments, notably including the Cadian Kasurkin, Cadia's own elite stormtroopers, were deployed in the Hive Hell's Reach and Hive Acheron battles. They'd drop onto Hive Spire towers that orcs had overrun, reclaiming anti-aircraft guns or lighthouses that could guide in other forces. At Hive Hell's Reach, when an orc gargant, a giant walking idol of destruction, essentially an orc-manufactured battle titan, was lumbering toward the city's outer wall, a handful of Scions volunteered to do a grav-shoot insertion onto the war machine. In a scene worthy of an action holo, they landed on the moving gargant, fought their way inside it amidst roaring, grease-stained orc engineers, and detonated charges at critical points. The entire monstrosity blew apart before it reached the walls, likely saving tens of thousands of lives in the hive. Did those Scions escape the explosion? Of course not. They knew it was a one-way trip, but they went anyway because that's the job. Achieve the objective, no matter the cost. And in doing so, they entered a sort of legend, though most common folk on Armageddon only ever heard rumors of what happened, since official records of the deed are buried in after-action reports. The Scions themselves don't seek glory or credit. In the end, blowing up the Gargant was just orders fulfilled. Speaking of glory, one might wonder, are there any celebrated heroes among the Tempestus Scions, like how the Guard have their Colonel Ironhand, Strakens, or the Space Marines have Chapter Masters? The nature of the Scions' work means they often don't become public heroes in the same way. A lot of their missions are classified or just not widely broadcast. However, within the Ordo Tempestus, there are indeed names spoken with reverence. Tempestor Prime Salem Whitlock, for example, is known for commanding the 50th Capic Eagles in the Sanctus Reach campaigns against an orc onslaught called the Red War. Under his leadership, the Capic Eagles executed drop strikes on key orc supply lines and even rescued an embattled squadron of Imperial Knights by seizing a crucial fuel depot from the Greenskins. There's also Major Zane Mortensen of the so-called Redemption Corps, a stormtrooper regiment so notorious for getting the dirtiest, deadliest assignments that their nickname within the Guard is the Damned Fools. There's an entire novel about them, actually, which recounts how Mortensen's unit went up against everything from a Genestealer cult uprising to a confrontation with the Adepta Sororitas. Long story short, the Inquisition got involved and things went sideways. Mortensen's lot is a great example of how stormtroopers often operate in the shadows of larger events, rarely getting the accolades. He was a hero by any measure, his troopers almost worshipped him. Yet, outside of those who read classified after-action reports or that one Black Library novel, few know his name. And that's fine with him, one imagines. Scions don't do it for medals or parades. Their reward is the successful completion of the mission and perhaps living to deploy again next time. The Tempestus Scions also work hand in hand with some other specialized forces of the Imperium when necessary. For instance, Inquisitors, especially of the Ordo Xenos or Ordo Hereticus, often find use for stormtrooper squads when a situation calls for more firepower than a lone acolyte, but maybe not the overt might of space marines. Inquisitorial stormtroopers are basically scions seconded to an inquisitor's retinue. They wear slightly different insignia, often bearing the Inquisition's emblem, and might operate in plainer clothes if subtlety is needed, but by and large they're the same breed. Progena trained, ruthlessly effective. If an Inquisitor needs to purge a heretical cult from an underhive or board a rogue trader's ship that's suspected of trafficking demonic artifacts, they might send in their cadre of stormtroopers first to secure the area, guns blazing righteously. Those troopers know that there's no backup coming. It's their job to establish a beachhead for the Inquisitor. And if things go wrong, to die to the last man holding off the threat, so their master can either escape or bring in heavier support. There are stories of Inquisitor-led operations where stormtroopers cleared entire space hulks deck by deck, or held off waves of demonic entities during a chaos cult crackdown until Grey Knights arrived. Naturally, almost none of those tales will ever be known to the public, and often the stormtroopers involved are sworn to secrecy or outright mind-wiped if they saw things above their pay grade. That's another part of being the best of the best. Sometimes you see the worst of the worst, and the Inquisition decides you shouldn't be allowed to remember it. But do the Scions complain? No. If ordered to report for a debriefing that suspiciously feels like a euphemism for something unpleasant, they do it. They follow orders. It's what they do. Amidst all these grim duties, one might ask if there's any sense of camaraderie or spirit among the Tempestus Scions. The answer is yes. In their own stern way, there is. A scion may outwardly appear an automaton of duty, but they are still human underneath the indoctrination, and bonds do form between soldiers who shed blood together. They have their own traditions and honors within their regiments. The Lamdan Lions might pride themselves on having never failed a mission objective in living memory, even if it cost every last man except one to achieve it. The Yotan Dragons might have a ritual of engraving the names of lost comrades inside their armor plates as a silent reminder of sacrifice. And when Scions from different regiments meet, say, two squads working jointly on a mission, there's often a healthy rivalry and mutual respect. They'll tease each other, perhaps in rather deadpan fashion, about who got to the objective first, or whose hotshot aim was truer. It's not the boisterous bragging of common troopers, but it exists in subtle forms. They also share a sort of implicit smugness. Not that they'd ever voice it to outsiders, that they are simply better at war than any other baseline human around them. Honestly, it's not misplaced arrogance. It's largely true. They know it, their commanders know it, and even the Space Marines have been known to nod in approval at a Scion strike that goes well, though Astartes would rarely voice it quite so plainly. The war for humanity's survival is endless and cruel, and the Tempestus Scions are a reflection of that cruelty turned back on the enemy. They are both weapons and victims of the Imperium's harsh demands. Raised without childhoods, trained to obey without hesitation, used as expendable saboteurs and shock troops. The life of a Scion is not an enviable one, yet there's a certain nobility in their purpose. They choose, or were chosen and embraced the choice, to be the tip of the spear that defends mankind. They take on the missions no one else can, so that billions of ordinary soldiers and citizens might live another day. In a galaxy filled with superhuman space marines, immortal god emperors, and unspeakable alien horrors, it often falls to mere mortal men and women like the Tempestus Scions to bridge the gap between heroic myth and brutal reality. They are only human. No power armor, no genetic enhancements beyond what any fit soldier could have. But they prove, time and again, that a well-placed charge or an accurate volley can change the course of battles as surely as any 7-foot-tall superhuman with a chainsword. They remind friend and foe alike that the pure resolve and training of an ordinary man can still make a mockery of the enemy's plans. With every drop from a gunship into a storm of gunfire, with every door they kick in to take an objective, the Scions quietly uphold the idea that the Imperium's dominion isn't held by just the demigods or the untouchables, but also by those nameless, faceless elites in the shadows, doing what must be done. The Tempestus Scions fight without accolades, and usually without mercy. Their introduction may be dramatic, black-armored troops rappelling from the heavens, but their departure is often silent. Mission accomplished, they vanish to await the next call. They don't occupy territory or raise flags in triumph. Once their part is done, they hand the field back to the regular armies to hold and govern. In many war zones, the rank and file only realize the Scions were even there when they find the aftermath. A bunker of enemy leaders all dead from precise headshots, or a shield generator mysteriously blown to bits right before the big offensive. "Must have been the glory, boys," a sergeant might mutter, shaking his head in begrudging admiration. Ultimately, the Tempestus Scions are a perfect embodiment of the Imperium of Man's ethos, uncompromising, unyielding, and willing to sacrifice everything, including their own humanity, in a sense, for the cause of victory. They start as orphans with nothing, and they become razor-edged instruments of the Emperor's will. They are feared by the enemies of mankind and often resented by their fellow soldiers, but they are indispensable. In a universe that knows only war, the Imperium simply cannot survive without forces like the Scions to tip the balance in those make-or-break moments. So the next time you hear the whine of a Valkyrie's engines overhead and see dark figures dropping into the battle, or the next time a grizzled guardsman jokes about some big-shot toy soldiers coming to hog the glory, you'll know exactly who they're talking about. And you'll know that, sarcasm aside, those Tempestus scions have likely saved the day more times than anyone can count, shedding blood in the shadows and high skies so that the Imperium might emerge into victory's light. They are the Imperium's special forces, the Stormtroopers, the finest soldiers a broken human orphan can be forged into. Their story is one of unwavering duty and manufactured courage, and it is one of the many brutal, brilliant threads woven into the tapestry of the 41st millennium's endless war. Short but mighty, that's how a Tempestus Scion would prefer things. Their introductions are brief and their farewells often unspoken. Yet, their impact on the battlefield echoes loudly in the enemy's nightmares and the Imperial history books, at least the classified ones. The Tempestus Scions prove that even in a galaxy of giants and monsters, the resolve of an ordinary human, hardened into unbreakable steel, can stand toe to toe with the worst of them and come out on top. They may fight with a hint of sardonic humor behind those expressionless helm visors. After all, who else would be crazy enough to do what they do? But fight they do, and they win. They are Tempestus Scions, the special forces of the Imperium, and when they come knocking, Emperor have mercy on those who stand in their way.